Hi, I'm Phil Lamar, voice of Green Lantern in Justice League, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome to episode 20 of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I'm your host, TFG and Mike, and joining me once again is Sketch1984. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. And today we're going to be talking about the ultimate teen team-up, the best one to date, which is Young Justice. Because that other one, is not in continuity.
Well, this one isn't either. This is a completely different continuity. Well, there are people that are saying stuff like, well, maybe Justice League Doom and this are in the same continuity. Well, they have the same art style, but...
The only reason why Justice League Doom couldn't be in the continuity with this is because you have Bruce Greenwood. I mean, technically, this and Crisis on Two Earths could be in the same continuity. Or not Crisis on Two Earths. Batman Under the Red Hood could be in the same continuity because of the voice actors. But
that would be an interesting twist, actually.
Yes. Yes, it would.
Wait! No, it doesn't work because the Joker... There'd be two completely different Jokers.
It does work because the Robin...
Just one voice actor doesn't make the difference.
Yes, it does. Kevin Conroy proved that for 21 times throughout the years. No, the reason why I say it could be is because of the fact that the Robin here is Dick Grayson versus the Robin I almost said year one, holy shit. The Robin in Under the Red Hood is Jason Todd.
The thing is, these are two completely different interpretations of the Joker.
That's... true, yeah.
I mean, sure, maybe that Joker got a little more husky and even more psycho at a point. Well, you know, whatever. All that needs to be said is Bruce Greenwood is a great Batman.
Oh, yes, most definitely. Bruce Greenwood is the only person that should ever voice Batman outside of Kevin Conroy, at least out of all the other ones we've had.
Most of the other ones have just been...
I mean, you know, a drunk Baldwin as Batman? Ugh, no thank you.
That was such a bland voice.
For such a great movie, and yeah, it was such a bland voice, yes.
That was very disappointing. But I loved James Woods as Owlman.
Yeah, that was great in that one.
He was kind of delightfully psycho.
Yes, he was. Oh, good lord. All right, so to set the stage for Young Justice, to set the stage for Young Justice, essentially, American animated television series created by Greg Wiseman and Brandon Vietti, I believe that's how his name is said, for Cartoon Network. Despite its title, it is not an adaptation of Peter David, Todd Desigo, and Todd Nux Young Justice comic series, but rather an adaptation of the entire DC universe with a focus on the young superheroes. The series follows the lives of teenage heroes and sidekicks who are members of a fictional covert operation team called Young Justice. The team is essentially a young counterpart to the celebrity-level famous adult team, the Justice League. The main setting is the fictional universe of Earth 16, during a time period in which superheroes are a relatively recent phenomenon. The series debuted on January 7th, 2011, with a two-week re-airing of the first two episodes, and originally aired as an hour-long special on November 26, 2010. Young Justice premiered September 9th, 2011 on Teletoon in Canada. So what were your first impressions of Young Justice, sir?
Well, let me tell you, my first impression was before lots of other people because I got the screener for my review at Nick and More back, that was in 2010. Yeah, and my first impressions was, wow, really impressive stuff. The animation was so great, so fluid, without losing detail. And, you know, it really had a very strong start for a superhero cartoon. It just got you right into the action. You got to see the characters developing from episode one. And honestly, I think it's probably one of the best initial episodes of any show I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Now, I didn't get a screener, but a lot of people kind of forgot about the show because Cartoon Network is in the habit of doing these things where they will show the first two episodes as an hour-long thing, hour-long special, 6 months before the show actually airs or, you know, whatever. I'm just using 6 months as a timestamp. But yeah, in November, I was extremely excited about it. It was awesome. It was great. November of 2010. And then it was like, hey, we've just given you this special look at a new Young Justice cartoon, and now you're going to wait
until January.
Yeah. And it's like, really? Seriously? And then, which we'll talk about this more a little bit later, but then, you know, in Cartoon Network dumbassery fashion, they still fucked around with the schedule. Because I had seen, like, the first four episodes, and then I hadn't seen anything else up until, like, the last four of season one at this point. So it's like, I'm missing that whole middle part, you know? But no, I love the animation, I love the voice acting, I loved the way that the plots were, out of the plots that I did see. It was just very, very well done.
Agreed.
Yes. As far as the who's who of the show, we have a star-studded cast, actually. You have Jesse McCartney as Dick Grayson Robin, Kari Payton as Aqualad, Jason Spezak as Kid Flash, Nolan North as Superboy, Danica McKellar as Ms. Martian, and Stephanie Lemlin as Artemis. As far as the recurring roles, we have, for a second there, I thought that said Glover. Red Arrow, voiced by Crispin Freeman. Zatanna, voiced by Lacey Chabert. Oh, God, that's so funny. Bruce Greenwood is Batman. Very awesome. Nolan North also voices Superman, Clark Kent, Kal-El, however many names the guy has this week. It was announced a few months ago that Maggie Q would be voicing Wonder Woman. Very awesome. George Eads is The Flash. Who does Hal Jordan in this one? I forget. It doesn't list it on the Behind the Voice Actors thing.
People have theorized that it's Stephen Bloom, just from how he sounded, but he's never really been credited. Because basically he's all he's ever done is like grunt.
Yeah. Phil LaMarr as Aquaman. Kevin Michael Richardson as Martian Manhunter. Alan Tudyk as Green Arrow. No clue for Hawkman and Hawkwoman. Nolan North does Zatara. I mean, this is star-studded cast here. There just is. I'm actually surprised they didn't do this, but I like that they didn't do this. Kevin Michael Richardson is Jon Stewart's Green Lantern, which I'm surprised that they didn't have Phil LaMarr reprising.
I guess they wanted to make sure that people wouldn't.
Right. This is nowhere near in continuity with DCAU or Justice League, but it would have,
Phil LaMarr was a great John Stewart, so honestly, I think they probably should have had him back, but he made a good Aquaman.
Anything is better than that crappy...
What do you know, Chris Rock? Black guys can play white.
Oh, God. Can't believe you just went there.
Fish, anyway. Well, this is it. I want to be called Super Bowl. As if, well, why don't we just call you Whitefish? That was from Harvey Birdman.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you just went there. Holy shit.
I love that show. Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, that's for a future season. Overall, the voice cast in this is just superb.
I agree. Is absolutely a phenomenal voice cast.
Yeah. I don't really have a favorite. I guess I would say that I like Robin simply because of how snarky he is.
Oh, yeah. Just in regard to did a great Robin.
Yeah. Just how snarky he is and how, he flaunts the fact in villains' faces. I was trained by Batman, So it's like, holy shit. And that whole... I'm going to have to find the clip, or somebody's going to have to find the clip for me. The whole whelmed thing, I was like, oh, God, here we go. Here's the new saying. It's like overwhelmed, underwhelmed. Why can't we just be whelmed?
Ugh. And he kept bringing back that and it, disaster and aster.
Yeah.
Disaster averted, I'm feeling the aster.
Oh, my God.
Really? What if they think that was clever?
It's so funny. But overall, I mean, just a great, great cartoon. The stories were very well done. It kept you guessing every time, even though it's like, what the fuck is the light? I mean, especially someone like me that I'm not tuned into whatever comic stuff is going on, so...
Yeah, either.
Well...
A lot of this is completely new information for me.
Yeah. But I like the fact that it stands on its own outside of...
Mm-hmm, definitely. I want to say probably my favorite casting in this is... I adore Jason Spizak as Kid Flash.
Yeah, he does...
He's so good with the quick lines and the wits. He's really, really quite good. And yes, I'm especially happy to see him because I've really only seen him before in video games and in Japanese cartoon dubs.
Yeah.
So seeing him finally get a really meaty role in an American cartoon, which pays a whole lot better, it just makes me feel good for him because that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really like Danica McKellar as Miss Martian.
Yeah. I liked her to a point.
I know what you didn't like.
What?
The Hello, fact that... Megan! Yeah, I couldn't stand that either. And I also like Lacey Chatwright as Zatanna.
Yeah. Zatanna as a kid... okay, sure. I mean, she's supposed to be a teen hero. That's fine. I prefer the Zatanna in the DCAU more, simply because it's not illegal for me to lust after her.
I see.
But the thing with Miss Martian, yes, the Hello Megan thing got old, like, the first episode. It got so friggin' old. But I like how they did an episode later on and we figure out how, why she does that. And I do like that. that they're not just throwing in catchphrases to just throw in a catchphrase.
Right.
So, do you have a favorite individual character, or do you have a favorite number of characters, whether it's the heroes or the villains or whichever?
Characters. Well, I really like this interpretation of Robin and Kid Flash and Ms. Martian and Zatanna. Red Arrow has his moments, I would say. Usually I'm all up on the Batman, but he's kind of, he doesn't do a whole lot here. I mean, he's always good in any scene that he's here. I like Zatara being so overly protective, even when he's got the Dr. Fate mask on.
Well,
right. We could just, what about Zatanna? Absolutely not!
Yeah.
Stuff like there. And how can you not love Captain Marvel? Captain Marvel was just great to have there.
He's better in this than I liked him better here versus what he did in Justice League Unlimited.
Oh, yeah, because he was just kind of a foil to Superman in that, and that was kind of stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say that's that. Oh, I do like this interpretation of Green Arrow. The few scenes that he gets are really quite good.
Yeah, I'm kind of biased on Green Arrow a little bit because I don't think Ken Schreiner has ever voiced him again since Justice League Unlimited, and I loved the Green Arrow voice in Justice League Unlimited. I'm kind of one-track minded on that. I don't mind Green Arrow being in, cartoons and stuff like that. I just couldn't get into the character.
Oh, how can I forget Red Tornado?
Oh God, yes.
Jeff Bennett as Red Tornado is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And as far as the bad guys go,
yeah,
Professor Ivo is done by Peter McNichol. It's really, really quite entertaining. And, Cheshire's pretty good on screen whenever she's around.
Mm-hmm.
Always lovely Kelly Hu.
Yes, yes, very much so. You've got, Ra's al Ghul, voiced by Oded Furr. Mark Ralston does Lex Luthor. The voice fits for this series, though.
He's a very good Lex Luthor.
I've never liked Witch Boy and his pussy. Never liked that character at all in any
Some of the interpretations of characters here are just bad. I really don't like the Riddler. Riddler's bad, but I'm gonna go against the grain and say that I like this interpretation of the Joker done by Brett Spiner. Lots of people are like, "Oh, it's awful." I was like, "I don't know. I kind of like it. It's definitely nothing like the more iconic Jokers, but I kind of liked it."
Yeah.
I wish we had gotten more Vandal Savage. The one when he actually fought, that was really good stuff.
Yeah. Well, but, and for people listening, there will be spoilers here since the season one just ended like a week before we recorded this.
Let's try not to drop too many heavy ones.
And we're heading into season two. Well, the one I was going to bring up is the fact that he's behind the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Season one. So there is, I'm not going to, say what it is, but at the end of the season finale, it's like, hey, Vandal Savage, and he's here, and
it's kind of interesting because he doesn't come in until more than halfway through the season.
Yeah,
this is the first time you see him,
and I think that's kind of the point of this season is that, or of season one is that you have this whole misdirection with this whole council of evil light or what whatever the hell they're supposed to be, and then in the end, it's Vandal Savage, which I don't mind at all. I don't know. Overall, like I said, the animation is great. The design, I love the stealth designs. Those are so awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to be stealthy, Wally, when you're wearing bright yellow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a good call to make that gray.
Yes. It reminds me, sadly, it reminds me of X-Men. What would you prefer we wear? Blue and yellow spandex?
Paint a big target on yourself.
With a star in the middle of it. Have it red, white, and blue. Oh, wait, that's coming out this summer. Never mind. Bad S.H.I.E.L.D. joke.
Definitely. One random cameo that I really enjoyed was Josh Keaton as Black Spider, who I had to look up to see if it really was an existing character, but that's just hilarious, having the guy who voiced Spider-Man in Greg Wiseman's and Victor Cook's spectacular Spider-Man coming in to voice a Spider-Man type character in Young Justice. I like that kind of throwback because I can't stand the new Spider-Man cartoon. So it was nice to have a little
thumb. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but from what I can tell, it doesn't sound like it's going to be that great. And the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, which is just now airing on Disney XD, will not be covered in the season of superheroes since I have never gotten to watch it, and we've essentially got all of the episodes for the rest of season one of Tooncast Beyond already recorded. So, yeah, that'll come up next time, you know, in the next, you know, 30 years when there's more superhero cartoons that we can cover.
The scary thing is it's supposed to get like 52 episodes unless it gets cut short.
God. It would so get cut short if it was on Cartoon Network.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. Let's talk about how the show stacks up. We've got four categories. How does the show compare to other shows within the same franchise? How does the show stack up against shows in the other same genre? How does it stack up against shows in its time slot, if applicable? Which show from a previous decade is this most comparable to? Now, as far as within its own same franchise, I should have listed JL, JLU, and Teen Titans in that, but I really only listed Green Lantern, TAS, and DC Nation shorts. I mean, I guess we could throw in JLJLU, even though this is the, you know, this is the sidekicks. Don't call them sidekicks. Today's the day. Oh God, that yeah. Between Hello McGann, Today's the Day, and Don't Call Them Sidekicks, I got so sick of the taglines for this show after a while. What would you say it's most comparable to within the same franchise?
In the same franchise?
Yes.
Well, the things you mentioned here. I mean, you have the Green Lantern TAS and the DC Nation shorts. Really, it's not particularly comparable either.
Yeah.
In a quality scale, it's hard to gauge the DC Nation shorts. Some of them are good, some of them are not. The Green Lantern TAS, even though it's just got it started, I've been pretty impressed by it so far. It's made me care about Green Lantern, which is more than I could say for a lot of things.
I
didn't care about Green Lantern until Jon Stewart in Justice League.
Yes, I will actually throw in Justice League Unlimited into the same franchise since they're team-up shows. So I guess, you know...
Oof.
I mean, Justice.
Man, that's a tough call.
Well, no, I mean, well, this isn't saying which, you know, this is basically saying how does it stack up with shows in the same franchise. I think comparing this to JLJLU, Young Justice does stand on its own. Young Justice has so far, at least in my opinion, an amazing story that it's told over its first. I mean, it hasn't been like every other episode of what the fuck moment of like, you know, fuck this show, I'm never watching this again. You know, there are certain episodes in season one that I just haven't really kept my attention, but there has yet to be in its first season a moment where I'm just saying I'm never watching this show ever again. You know, and we're only into, you know...
I'd say it stacks up very well as a contemporary to Justice League Unlimited.
How does it stack up against shows in the same genre, that being the superhero genre? And what I have listed is JLJLU, Teen Titans, Superman the Animated Series, Batman, Batman Beyond, and any number of the Marvel cartoon television series. Obviously, it's not going to hold a candle to BTAS. You know, Young Justice has great storytelling, and it's a very fluid show. But it's just in its infancy, so I think it's kind of unfair to put it up against BTAS. It is a good show, so I guess I'll leave it at that. What about you?
Yeah, it's a good show. It did a lot in 26 episodes, mm-hmm. and that's impressive in its own right. It's good that there's going to be 20 more, at least, for the next season. And yeah. I look forward to seeing how good it becomes, because it's good now. It could be even better by the end of the run, or it could fall off a cliff. And that's really going to decide where it falls in the great timeline of quality animation.
Yeah, yeah. And as far as it's stacking up in its time slot... Well, starting off, so here's how I start off my Saturday morning. 9 o'clock, Phineas and Ferb on Disney Channel. 9:30, Thundercats. 10 o'clock, GLTAS. And then this. The last 3 weeks or so that I've been watching all three shows, I'm not counting Phineas and Ferb, but Thundercats, GL, and this, I've had mixed emotions about each one. There have been a couple episodes in the last month and a half that Young Justice it's not that I disliked it, it just didn't capture my attention. There have been a couple episodes since Thundercats has come back that just haven't caught my attention. And there have been a couple of episodes of GLTAS, and I'm like, what is this? And, you know, every Saturday morning I'll go on, I'm like, you know, like 11 o'clock Saturday morning, I'll be like, I'll go on Twitter or Facebook and I'll be like, okay, well, I watched all three of these cartoons so far. I like this for this, I like this for that, and I didn't really care for this one this week or whatever else. So I think between Thundercats, GL, and Young Justice stacks up pretty damn good. It's better Definitely. Than being on at like 8 o'clock on a Friday night.
Really? You think it's better that it's on Saturday morning than...
Oh, hell yes. Oh, hell yeah.
Interesting. I think it's a really... It's amazing that they play this on Saturday mornings, because it is violent and it is dark at times, and it, quite frankly, could scare the kids. So,
but most kids don't even know what the hell Saturday morning cartoons are now. I'm betting, you know, just in my interactions on Twitter, half the people that are talking about these three cartoons specifically, Thundercats, GL, and Young Justice, it's all people our age, you know. Or, you know, similar, you know, close to that. I mean, I don't see parents.
I think with kids have been kind of off and on. They kind of Thundercats, GL, and Young Justice on Cartoon Network kind of fluctuate in which one does best.
Yes, they do.
Peculiar, but yeah. I guess at least they're doing probably well enough to keep their spots, which is about all you can ask for.
That's true.
The grand tradition of Saturday morning cartoons is lost on the current generation. And, you know, can you blame them? If you tune into Nickelodeon, it's like a SpongeBob marathon until Korra comes on. you know, Cartoon Network has tried various Saturday morning blocks for a while now, but usually they didn't put, like, really meaty action shows in there. So it's nice to see them up their game on Saturday morning, but I still think these shows would do better on, like, not necessarily Friday night, because that's where they get slaughtered, but on, say, a Wednesday or a Thursday night might do well. Even a Saturday night, like they used to have action shows on Saturday nights, it probably would do better than Friday, because they were getting hammered on Friday. Even Star Wars was getting hammered on Friday.
Yeah.
So, you know, I DVR them. I watch them when I want. I just want them to do well enough to stick around.
Mm. Yeah.
And as far as these shows stack up, I like them all in different ways. I would say it's hard to call Green Lantern having the least episodes, but even in the first 13, I would say Young Justice was a stronger show. So I'm going to say Young Justice is my favorite of three, at least for now.
Yeah.
And they're all good. They're all fantastic, and everybody should watch them.
Yes, yes. Way to be flip-floppy over there. As far as a show from a previous decade stacking up to Young Justice, sadly, because Young Justice is mainly about the younger team. It's not about Justice League. It's about the sidekicks. The only thing we can really compare it to is Teen Titans. And my note here is it stacks up against Teen Titans, but YJ does it so much better.
You kind of compare it to Legion of Superheroes.
Eh, I never could get into that show.
Yeah, it got better in the second half, but it's so forgettable.
Yes, it
so
is.
Forgettable. They haven't even, like, they once released, like, half of it on DVD and never got around to the rest. So, yeah, definitely the contemporary is Teen Titans. And I would say definitely within the first 26-episode story arc, Young Justice does it better.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. So, being the IGN replacement crew, 0 to 4, what would you rate this? 0 is don't ever watch this show ever again, which obviously we won't rate it that. 1 is don't watch this if it's on TV. It's worth a watch if you find it for free. 3 is, you know, you should add this to your Netflix or whatever, and DVR, which it's not currently on Netflix, I don't think.
No, it's not.
I know it's on iTunes, but it's not on Netflix. And 4, obviously, is add to the DVD collection. There are several volumes on DVD, but until an actual season, full 26-episode season set comes out, I will never purchase any of the volume sets that are on DVD. Because it's like 4 episodes here, 4 episodes there. It's like, oh, God.
I hate when Warner does that. But they did kind of an odd thing with Young Justice. And they did this, I believe, with some other shows, where they would release part of it in 4-episode volumes and then release, like, the second half of the season in one set. Yeah. Which would have drove me bonkers. But they had the foresight to release a 3-pack that I think is exclusive to Walmart, but you can buy it on Amazon. Right. And I bought that, and it covers the first 3 volumes.
Yeah. So
that I would recommend.
Yeah.
Don't buy the singles. It's a terrible waste of money.
Yes, yes it is. So as far as other media, it is an official tie-in comic book series. It has a bunch of licensed merchandise. Additionally, several products based off the series have been licensed for release. Mattel released lines of character action figures, which actually is funny, because Mattel just announced a couple weeks ago that the Young Justice line is ending, which is stupid.
Yeah, action cartoons don't tend to last long without toys, but there have been instances where they have managed to survive. Like, Static Shock never had toys. The current Green Lantern, supposedly, is not going to get toys.
The only thing that the current Green Lantern is getting for toys is McDonald's.
Happy toys.
I saw him at McDonald's the other day, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be the when and where segment if we didn't talk about the stupidest fucking thing I have ever seen in my fucking life. The Flaming Sea. Oh my God, what a cunt. Oh God. Alright, so, on the program Conan O'Brien visited Bruce Timm during one of his segments and then developed a superhero named the Flaming Sea. However, on several occasions, their original creation would be animated in pre-existing sequences from Young Justice using the voice acting of whichever character Flaming Sea was placed over. These scenes were taken from Fireworks, Welcome to Happy Harbor, and Schooled and in Denial.
I only saw the one from Fireworks.
Oh, okay. This is the the dumbest fucking thing. This is Conan just trying to worm his way into Warner Brothers and DC. I fucking hate Conan. He's not funny. God, this just pissed me. When I first saw this, I was like, are you fucking serious? Oh, God. Oh. Any thoughts on the flaming cunt?
You went there.
Yes, I did.
I was amused by it, honestly. I don't hate Conan. I'm not the biggest fan, but I don't hate him. I thought it was real sporting of Bruce to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that whole segment when Conan's like, give him this, do this to him, do it. And Bruce is just kind of sitting there and is like, okay. It was kind of like, sure, whatever it is for me to get the fuck away from you. That's the way I felt.
Yeah.
That's the impression that I got from Bruce Timm. It was like, sure, whatever, you know, makes you happy just so I can go back to actually doing real work. You know.
Yeah. They didn't even have to pay commission for that drawing. At the Comic-Con this year, I just sat there. Well, I didn't sit there. I stood there at the booth while he was drawing a sketch for somebody. And I was like, well, I just like watching this guy work.
Yeah, watching Bruce Timm work is a masterpiece in and of itself. As I mentioned earlier, Warner Brothers released Young Justice Season 1, Volume 1 on DVD July 19th, 2011, and features the first four episodes of the series. The first four episodes were also included in Justice League 3-pack fan box set, which contained the 2-part Justice League episodes The Brave and the Bold and Injustice for All, as well as the Justice League Unlimited episodes For the Man Who Has Everything, The Return, and The Greatest Story Never Told. Young Justice Season 1 Volume 2 and Season 1 Volume 3 containing the following episodes have also been released. So yay, there's that. Just waiting for them to do a season set. I don't give a shit about volume sets at all.
Well, like I said, I highly recommend the 3-pack because you can get it for like $12.
Yeah.
$12, 12 episodes, that's not bad. Annoying to get three full discs, but yeah. If they never do, I don't think they're going to get around to doing a full season release now, but they could surprise us down the line. Warner has a bad tendency of doing mismatched releases, and that drives me crazy as a collector because I like all my DVDs to look, you know, uniform.
Yes. But, you know, at least for those of us who like digital content, the full season one is on iTunes for either for high def, I think it's $2.99 per episode. For standard def, it's $1.99 per episode, or you can buy the overall season. For I think standard def is $40, high def is $50, which that's pretty damn expensive, but
yeah.
You're getting it in high. I mean,
the only way you're going to get the HD because they're probably not going to do a Blu-ray, which is very disappointing.
Yeah.
The show is gorgeous.
I know. Yes, it is. It
pains me that they're not going to put this on Blu-ray. I mean, they finally got around to putting Justice League on Blu-ray, at least the first two seasons.
Yeah, we're still waiting for the rest of that.
Maybe if it, you know, gets a really big following, then eventually they'll have the common sense to put it out on Blu-ray. But they're they're just so bad at Warner has too many things to juggle. They got all the Warner releases, they got all the Cartoon Network releases, they got all the live action Warner stuff. Warner and Disney are just bad at putting out DVDs.
Yes, they are.
Which just hand out their content to Shout Factory like Viacom does these days.
Yes. So with that, we're going to go to some commercials and some other stuff, and we'll come back to close the show after this.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble Mask. The Geekcast Radio Network has launched Masked Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFGO and Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of Mask will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Masked Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Now back to Geekcast. Final thoughts, sir, on Young Justice.
It's a phenomenal show, and I recommend it to anybody who enjoys action shows, anybody who enjoys comic book stories. Certainly anybody who enjoys the DC Universe, because this is really the first show that's done a good job of encompassing more than just one part of the DC Universe, though they have kind of, since they focused on the kids, you don't get very much of the actual Justice League, other than patches of things, at least so far, and as it is called Young Justice, that is to be expected. But yes, it's not the case where, like in Teen Titans, all hell was breaking loose, and we were like, where's the Justice League? Or when Justice League, when all hell was breaking loose, is like, you know, where's the Teen Titans? it's nice to finally have that level of a story. And it just builds and builds from episode one, and this is kind of a common theme of Greg Wiseman's shows. And you got to pay attention to all the little details because almost everything matters. There's nothing that's just not supposed to be there. It's just such a great story. Honestly, it gets a little cramped at times, particularly towards the end of the season when they hit you with a whole bunch of things at once. And you're like, well, why couldn't they pace that out better maybe? But absolutely great show. Highly recommend it. Great action. Fantastic animation, good choreography, phenomenal voice acting, and a really worthwhile story that just gets better and better.
Yep. And, you know, as of this recording, we are just about to head into the second season. This episode of Tooncast Beyond will be up the Thursday night before the second season starts, so we timed this just right. But I find it really strange that Cartoon Network... their scheduling is so fucked up.
It's strange that they're going straight into the second season?
Yeah, it's strange that they're going like straight into the second season.
Well, I think the reason for that was they ended up delaying episodes to wait until DC Nation started up. Right. And the original plan was to start Invasion at the beginning of DC Nation. And I don't know what happened. Some episodes even aired in other countries before they made it here, which is ridiculous stuff. But it happened with Brave and the Bold, too. So I've come to expect this kind of nonsense. I like to defend Cartoon Network to people who say, oh, new Cartoon Network sucks. But there's a lot of things wrong. There's a lot of things that they just don't do well. And they put action cartoons on the back burner, and it drives me bonkers.
Well, no, that's it. Okay, it's exactly why they suck, is because, as you just said, they screw, you know, they move things around, they do this, they do that, without any real resemblance of a fucking brain cell, honestly. You know, you look at, and I know we're going off on a tangent here, outside of Young Justice, and this isn't, you know, telecast or whatever else, but look at a network like USA or TNT. USA, specifically, USA Network has Take Burn Notice. They'll do a a premiere in June for the next season, and then they'll cut it off by, I don't know, August, or, you know, and then they'll come back in November and do a winter premiere or something like that. So you'll get like maybe 6 episodes throughout, you know, throughout summer months, or, you know, might even be 6 or more episodes of a show throughout the summer, and then they'll come back and do the last remaining whatever out of the season. Cartoon Network is so fucked up with their scheduling. It just doesn't make any damn sense to me whatsoever. I don't know.
Part of the problem with Young Justice is they started it too soon, and they had to wait after episode 8 for more episodes to be made. And then they thought, well, let's just wait a little longer until fall, which made for a really long gap, which put off a lot of people. Yep. And then they came back and they premiered new episodes in the fall, which, you know, was a long wait, but it was totally worth the wait. And then they were like, well, we can't just have this run for like 16 weeks, so we're just going to cut it off and then we'll save some for next year. Yeah. Oh, come on, guys. Come on. I understand that they usually take breaks around winter because it makes sense. You know.
Well, Christmas time and holidays, yeah. You know, the thing is that I think what they were waiting on for this was that DC Nation joint thing. Mm-hmm. As you said, they were waiting on the whole DC Nation block to kind of come through with Warner Brothers. The problem is that outside of Saturday and Sunday mornings, because Saturday mornings is when new episodes air, but the Cartoon Network also airs all 3 shows, Thundercats, GL, and Young Justice, the same episode of that week, the following Sunday morning, in case people missed it. The problem with that is the advertising for DC Nation only happens on those during that block. Like Thundercats.
Pretty much. I was amazed to see a Young Justice promo on a Friday evening right before it switched over to Adult Swim. Wouldn't even have noticed, but somebody mentioned it on Twitter. It was like, oh, wow, a Young Justice promo.
Because it's like, you know, I watch TV a lot. And I don't care what a lot of people say about this show. I think it's a cool show. I love watching reruns of Johnny Test. But, like, I'll watch Cartoon Network during the day, specifically between, like, 11:30 and 2 p.m. 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., because that's usually when they run, like, Scooby-Doo and Looney Tunes and Tom and Jerry, unless they decide to do some stupid movie during the week. But anyway, you know, and, like, I'll watch Cartoon Network throughout the week, and I see, like, 50, 60, 70 advertisements a day for Adventure Time and Regular Show. Putting my side of my hatred of those shows aside, 50 or 60 ads of the for each of those shows per day versus 1 or 2 advertisements on a Friday night and then advertisements on a Saturday morning for your superhero action block, that's very friggin' biased.
Yeah, and the thing that really kills me, and I don't even hate this show. They got that Ninjago show from Lego.
Yes.
I enjoy the show. It did really well in the ratings, but it got promoted like crazy. They don't even own that. I don't understand it. They must have gotten some kind of serious money from Lego to, you know, put so much advertising behind an action show. Not only is it an action show, it's a serial action show in which there's a story that continues from episode to episode. So the whole argument that serial action shows can't do well is bullshit!
Exactly. So, what pisses me off about Ninjago is that they should, like, okay, I know we're not going to be covering it here in the season of superheroes because I've never seen it, but the new Batman anime that they've come out with, if it was Lego Batman, it would have been a hell of a lot better than a Batman anime as far as the follow-up to Brave and the Bold.
I wouldn't count out a Lego Batman just yet.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, like, have Lego Batman instead of Ninjago is what my point here is. It's like Lego Batman would be so much cooler than watching Lego Ninja things. I don't know.
I think they will do a Lego Batman. It's either going to be Lego DC or Lego Star Wars, because there's another Lego show in development and they haven't said what it is.
Oh my god.
But I am sure it's one of those, because they already had the Lego Star Wars special and that did well.
That was, I love that. That was you take franchises like that. I love when they do stuff like that, because it was so friggin' cool. But when you take just regular Lego men and dress them up as ninjas, that's just dumb.
It's all a big marketing ploy for that line of Legos. And it's not the first time they tried this stuff. They had, like, the Bionicle movies.
Oh, God. This is
the first time that they did, like, a long-form series. There was what was that called? Hero something. That was
Yeah,
that was like a mini series, and this is the first one that they were like, okay, we're actually going to do a series. And, you know, the ratings are really good, even with adults, and that's kind of scary.
That's very friggin' scary. All right, so. It
has reasoning that if they put, like, oh, first, this is the other thing. They put after that high-rated episode of Ninjago, they don't put Ben 10. They don't put Thundercats. They don't put DC Nation. They put Level Up. Not even a new episode of Level Up. Just a rerun from the day before. Imagine the ratings that DC Nation could get if it was after Lego
Ninjago. Yeah, yeah.
It's just common sense. Why do they always put their action shows in this small little box? And they don't rerun any of them outside of the weekend and early in the morning. And they're not going to put, like, Young Justice early in the morning on weekdays. Best it's going to get reruns on Saturday. And that's going to make the ratings tank, because on Saturday morning, reruns do awful.
Yes. So.
This is why I thought you buy the DVDs, because you're not going to catch them again.
or buy the season in iTunes. Overall, as we've said, even though the train just got completely derailed there in that discussion, Young Justice, check it out. It's an awesome show. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every one of the posts over there. You can also, if you have a USB microphone or headset or whatever, you can leave us a direct voicemail over there as well. Email us at feedback at geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TuneCast Beyond. Also follow at Geekcast Radio. Mine is at TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
Sketch1984.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast Beyond, and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing on in the season of superheroes with Spider-Man, the new animated series. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Sketch 1984.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.